be near you.
Can you get me right down here? That's what I want more than anything.
I'll go reinforce that text.
He's smiling.
From Canon.
Are you going to look at it?
There's specific language that I think that you need to look at.
Okay, can you?
I'll get rid of that.
It's my lunch. I don't know why they need to give me a treat.
Ask the sandwich man.
Now.
Oh, okay, great.
All right. The Portland City Council will come back. Multitasking here. Portland City Council will come back from recess. It's 2 o'clock, and it is still Wednesday, May 26, 2010. Sue, can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Sussman. Leonard. Here. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. Before we move to the 2 o'clock time certain, I move that City Council approve an evening session for deliberation and consideration of the school code on Thursday, July 29th, from 6 to 9 p.m.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Anyone that wishes to testify on this motion, please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I'm hoping this has been checked out with our schedulers.
Aye. Adams.
I just do what I'm told.
Yeah, me too. I just
aye. If it isn't, we'll come back with a different motion. Do you have the talking points? Did you give them to me? Oh, yeah. We are very lucky to have with us some very special guests that have traveled a considerable distance to spend some time here in Portland to check out some of the various ways that we plan our future and implement it. And we have a delegation from the Conference of Mayors of China. And so please join me in welcoming them to the council chambers.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So today we are considering the issue of whether or not the voter-financed assistance to potential municipal candidates should be referred to the ballot for voter consideration. Sue, can you please read time certain item 778?
Add sunset clause to campaign finance fund code.
And 779, please.
Refer Portland City Code Chapter 2.10, Campaign Finance Fund, to city voters at the November 2, 2010 general election ballot.
Would our auditor and guest please come forward?
Welcome back.
Good afternoon. LaVon Griffin-Vallade, city auditor, here today to introduce the ordinance amendment and the referral. And here with me is the former elections officer for the city of Portland who has taken a new position at PSSRP, which I'm told stands for Public Safety Systems Revitalization Program. So the auditor's responsibility in this matter is to prepare a resolution, measure, and ballot title to refer the publicly financed campaign system to voters. And our approach in this has been to develop a completely neutral measure and ballot title that provides necessary information in clear and understandable language to voters. So we really wrestled with the best way to do this and the best approach for this because, again, our whole goal was to have something clear for voters to vote on. We wrestled with a couple of, well, several different options, actually, and I thought it would be good to just kind of highlight those for the public primarily, because we've met with all of you and discussed all of those options before we settled on our final approach. But we thought about an advisory question to voters, and we struggled with the fact that that wouldn't be binding, and it might also be confusing for voters to vote and for the results not necessarily to be binding. So we passed on that one. We also wrestled with referring current code, but there was concern about legality. Current code has never been referred to voters before, and we could find no legal precedent for that. And so we were concerned about confusion around whether or not it would be binding. There was also a thought to repealing current code, and the yes would mean no program, and a no would mean to keep the program, and so we decided that that would also be too confusing to voters. And then finally, there was no interest from leadership, meaning you folks, to refer this for a charter change. So what we decided to do, and this came on the advice of Lindley Reese, our trustee city auditor, or excuse me, city attorney representative, and you're welcome to join the city auditor's office too if you want to, but to first sunset the existing code so that amend the ordinance or amend the code so that it sunsets the existing program after the November general election, and that's the ordinance amendment before you today. And then a second piece would be to bring for you to vote on to refer the campaign financing program and word it in such a way that voters know that if they vote yes, they are showing their support for keeping the program, and if they vote no, they do not support the program. So that's basically what we have here today, and so I will begin by introducing the ordinance that to add a sunset clause to campaign finance fund code, code chapter 210. So, discussion? Questions? Not yet? Okay. So do you vote on that before I go to the next one? I'm sorry, I don't know the protocol. Okay. Well,
we'll hear about both and then take public testimony on both.
Okay, sorry. Great. So that's the ordinance amendment before you today, is to sunset the campaign finance code as of the November election. And then before you also is a resolution to refer the Portland City Code Chapter 210 Campaign Finance Fund to city voters at the November 2nd, 2010 general election. And I think that's all I've got for now, until you have questions for us.
Is there anything else we need to do? Okay. How many people have signed up?
Four people.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would Carol Cushman and T.A. Barnhart and Chris Smith come up?
Chris, why don't you start?
Mayor, commissioners, Chris Smith, definitely not in my planning commissioner hat today, but rather representing some other hats I've had in this process along the way. First point I want to make is the importance of doing this referral to keep the promise that we as advocates made when this was first adopted, that you as city council made when this was first adopted, that the voters would have a chance to review this. As someone who works hard to make government part of the solution, I think it's very important that we do what we say we're going to do. We said we're going to do this. It's important that we do it. Having made that point, I want to reflect a little bit on the system. I take the long view on this. I first studied public finance for City Club back in 2000 for a statewide ballot measure and became a fan at that point. I was part of the original set of advocates who pushed to have this adopted. I think I'm in a relatively exclusive club with former Commissioner Sten, Commissioner Fritz, of advocates for the system who have run under it. I'm not sure what it says. I'm the only one who hasn't managed to get elected from that club. But I have observed this keenly and have some reflections. The first is that I think this has dramatically changed the political culture here in Portland by reducing the amount of money spent in elections. Even in races, even for candidates who have not opted into the system, and in races where it has not been applied, it has generally lowered the amount of campaign spending dramatically. The four-digit campaign contribution is now a rarity in Portland, and that is directly in contradiction to national trends, and I think it speaks very well for our political culture here in Portland. It also has led to the geographic dispersion of campaign contributions. So if you look at a graph of where contributions come from in the city, you will see that in the races that have publicly financed candidates, there is no big peak around downtown in the West Hills as there is tends to be in the privately financed campaigns. And that also, I think, speaks well to the values of equity and inclusion that we value here in Portland. So I am hoping that voters will take a very positive attitude towards this. Certainly, I'm going to campaign in favor of it. And then finally, I'd like to express some thanks, first to the Auditor's Office for their ongoing efforts to enforce and improve this system. I want to particularly single out Andrew Carlstrom, who was the elections officer during my cycle and who has done probably more than anyone else to implement this system. And I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman, who voted for this initially and has so far been the only incumbent to face publicly financed challengers, has had to do so twice and has done so with grace and equanimity, and I appreciate that. And then finally, I just make the point that the system has learned. You know, in the first cycle, we saw that there was the balance was more towards inclusion and less towards integrity, and we exposed a problem there. The pendulum swung back the other way. During my cycle, the form was difficult, and nobody was going to commit fraud with that form. The most recent cycle, the forms were made a little more reasonable, but still protects the integrity of the process. So we just get better and better at this, and I hope we'll have the opportunity to continue to improve it in the future. Thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
Good afternoon. I'm Carol Cushman, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League supports the referral of the Campaign Finance Fund to voters for the 2010 general election. When Portland City Council adopted voter-owned elections in 2005, there was a commitment to refer the reform program to voters after 5 years. This has given Portlanders firsthand experience with the program, as well as provided opportunities for improvements, as suggested by the Volunteer Citizen Campaign Commission and adopted by City Council in the ensuing years. We applaud the hard work that was done by City Auditor LaVon Griffin-Vallade and her co-sponsors to the referral, Commissioners Amanda Fritz and Nick Fish, in preparing an even-handed and informative ballot title. The League has long supported campaign finance reform as a critical element in achieving the goals of open and representative government. The League wholeheartedly supports voter-owned elections, and we applaud our city's leadership in leading the way for political reform that is needed at both state and national level elections as well. We look forward to the opportunity for voters to judge the reform program, and we believe the citizens of Portland will retain voter-owned elections because they are the ones who truly benefit from this system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hello. My name is T.A. Barnhart. First, I want to thank the City Council for keeping its promise to the people of Portland in referring the voter-owned election process to their consideration and not giving in to the considerable pressure being applied to deny voters their say in this matter. I am not here to speak to voter-owned elections other than to say that despite what opponents and doubters say, the system is not about investing money in candidates. Publicly financed elections are an investment in democracy. I don't need to detail the problems with America's political and electoral system. We need major reforms, not merely in financing, but in the very nature of how we vote. This council took a major step in reform with public financing of campaigns. But voter-owned elections is just a first step, and we must not go backwards from here. We must go forward, not merely maintaining public financing, but addressing the actual casting of ballots. We're fortunate that Oregon has adopted vote by mail for all elections and online registration. These are steps that make voting easier and more deliberative. Vote by mail gives Oregon one of the highest turnout rates in the nation. But that's not enough. Last week, approximately one quarter of Portland voters cast a ballot. That means 3 out of 4 voters did not even bother to vote. Why? In part, it's because too many people feel that their vote does not matter. They don't want to vote for the leading candidate or the candidates of the two major parties. Yet a vote for anyone else seems to be a wasted vote, a vote for someone who is going to lose. This is especially true for those who want to give their support to a third party but realize that party has no chance of winning. Every voter should be able to cast a vote that counts. Under our current system, unless you are willing to vote for the Democrat, the Republican, or the big guns in a nonpartisan race, your vote definitely does not count. This is wrong, and we must change it. I favor instant runoff voting, but there are other options. As the council does the right thing and refers voter-owned elections to the ballot, I am asking you to take the next step and consider the possibility of adopting or asking the voters to adopt a system like instant runoff voting in order to give more people a meaningful ballot, more of a reason to vote. This is not something to decide today, of course, but this is a matter of critical importance. Elections in America and in Oregon need reform that goes beyond funding. Please take the next step and appoint a body to study what next step of electoral reform the city can take, whether that's instant runoff or other options for expanding legitimacy and participation. Voter-owned elections are an important first step, but if we don't take the next steps, we've wasted our time and money. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Next.
Next are Spencer Burton and Marianne Schwab.
All right, you win the best T-shirt of the day contest, Ms. Schwab.
Does your husband give you that?
Yes.
Mayor, I may just observe that Mr. Burton and I spent a lot of time together on the campaign trail at various forums. It's nice to see him in this body.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for having me. Mr. Mayor, Amanda, Mr. Leonard, thank you for having me.
Hold the mic down a little closer.
Okay. I ran this time. I believe in public financing of campaigns. Without it, people with visions but without opportunity to money can't have an opportunity to be heard. And I think it's important for diverse people with diverse ideas but without access to money have that opportunity. A man who was fortunate, and we're blessed to have a man on this council, and because of campaign financing. I ran against Dan Saltzman, and with the intention of getting campaign financing dollars. But I wasn't able to get to the 1,000 threshold this year. But I want that opportunity to be there for the future, so the good men and women with a vision can have an opportunity to be heard. Refer it to the voters. Let them have a chance to vote on it. I think when they take a good look at it, I think they'll decide that it's a good investment, it's worth their money, and it allows them and the people that represent them an opportunity to be heard. So all I ask you to do is let the people decide, up or down, let them make the choice. And I think they'll make the right choice. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Schwab.
Marianne Schwab, Southeast Advocate, and former person who ran against one of the crazy eights against Randy Leonard a few years ago. And I remember being in here when this was first being developed by Commissioner Salzman and Commissioner Sten. And I think it was poorly written initially, but I think the bumps and bruises have kind of come out of it now. And 8 of us ran against Randy Leonard, and I want everybody to know he won by 0.5%. But people of my social economic background and others have no chance without this. I'm imploring you to please let the voters decide and give them that opportunity. I would go one farther. You heard a gentleman talk about reform. I think everyone running for office should use the same dollar amount to sit and watch people throw darts at each other on television more and more intensely as the voting date comes close, is wrong. And the only winners in this are those that are printing the lawn signs and those that are printing the brochures. Mayor Katz told me years when I was running against Randy Leonard that I told her short of taking a second mortgage on my house, there was no way could I ever run for office. She dropped her hand to the desk and said, "Don't do that, Mrs. Schwab. I repeat, do not take a second mortgage on your house.
Best advice I ever got from a mayor of the city. So please, Mayor Adams and commissioners, forward this to the voters and let us decide. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate it. Anyone else wish to testify that did not sign up? All right. Let's proceed with the vote. Yeah, come forward, please.
Good afternoon.
Welcome back.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here in front of you to speak. I just wanted to say that, you know, I understand the fear and insecurity of, you know, the Portland Business Alliance in terms of, you know, allowing publicly financed candidates to, you know, have a seat at the table and on city council in a place like yourselves. But, you know, I want to encourage people to be open to the concept that there could be somebody, you know, and there has been someone like, you know, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, who is very pro-business and prosperity. So it is, you know, there's nothing to fear, and we should support this and allow people to have a voice on the issue. Thank you.
Could you give us your name for the record, please?
My name is Rudy Soto.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rudy. All right, anyone else? Then let's proceed with the vote of the first item.
Fish.
I'm pleased to co-sponsor this ordinance with the distinguished auditor and my colleague, Commissioner Fritz. As has been said before, this fulfills a commitment that the council made to refer this to the voters. My vote today fulfills a commitment that I made as someone who was skeptical about putting off the referral for 5 years and thought the referral should have been sooner, that this matter be referred to the voters. But I want to first give the credit where credit's due in this process. And that is the two people who I mentioned before, the auditor and Commissioner Fritz. First, the auditor. The auditor has been scrupulously impartial and neutral in her administration of this code. And I think everyone up here views that as a breath of fresh air. And we appreciate the way that you've done your business and the way you've advised us on these matters. To Commissioner Fritz, while I think it's important to give lots of credit to different groups for strengthening the law, I don't think the current law and the state that it is in would be as strong, would have been strengthened but for her advocacy. I think she has been the indispensable person, with all due respect to the commission and others, in terms of bringing forward proposals to strengthen this particular law. And as has been stated, when it was originally drafted, it was incomplete and did not anticipate a number of contingencies, including, as I have some personal experience with, special elections. And it is Commissioner Fritz who has worked tirelessly with her colleagues to bring forth the amendments which have significantly strengthened this code. It is in my view appropriate for the voters to decide whether this is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars. And as I said earlier, my only quarrel in past years was I think it should have gone to the voters first, not at the end of a five-year period. But today we are fulfilling a pledge that many of us have made to give it to the voters, to have that decision made by them. And I think that is appropriate, and I am pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
I didn't vote for this originally because I want it referred to the voters immediately when it passed, and that was the reason I gave at the time. Since that time, problems that have arisen occasionally under the system have created more concerns than what I could have possibly conceived of at the time. But as those problems have arisen, they have been from time to time resolved. For an example, the problem that was probably the most notorious with Emily Boyles and defrauding the system, for which she still owes $90,000 to the city, in my view, was resolved with the election of our new auditor. To me, that was an issue not so much of it being written poorly, but of a lack of adequate oversight. In fact, it was the Oregonian that had to find there was a problem with the signatures in that case, and it wasn't the auditor's office. So as far as I'm concerned, that has been resolved as an issue. and I appreciate that. However, since that time, there have been other issues that have raised concerns for me. Some have said here today, this opens up the system to make it more democratic. It does if you happen to belong or have the support of a strong organization behind you. If you happen to be a member of one of those organizations that support you, as one special election candidate did in a period of 10 days, was able to go out and get 1,700 signatures. Obviously, he could not do that on his own, had the support of organization to do that. Without that blessing, he would not have been able to do that. But that's how campaigns work. I mean, I did that when I ran. I got organizations support me to go door to door, and there's nothing wrong with that. I suppose even the latest election raises some concerns for me, although it violates no laws. I think it's concerning to me that a candidate who qualified for public financing would have to use money given to him by the city to hire people to go door to door. I mean, campaigns are about public support. And that's whether you're privately financed or publicly financed. You need to have volunteers be a part of your campaign organization, or it means you're not viable as a candidate. Yet we spent $145,000 for that candidate. Now, I've had a difficult time understanding why some might think it be inappropriate to use Water Bureau dollars to build an emergency staging site on the west side. In case the bridges collapse in Portland, so that we keep equipment permanently on the west side. But seemed to be okay with spending Water Bureau dollars, to which over $250,000 has been spent on this program, sewer dollars over $500,000 on this program. All bureaus have spent over $2.6 million on this program. But that doesn't seem to raise the same kind of debate as what I consider a much more close nexus to the Water Bureau having a place to put emergency responding vehicles. That's concerning to me. Now, so what's the solution? I'm one who never likes to point out problems without a solution. This morning I voted because we were short $560,000 to close a fire rescue. The amount of money that's been spent so far in this program would have kept that fire rescue open for 4 years. That disturbs me. I don't think that's an appropriate use of resources at a time when we're closing emergency apparatus that could possibly save people's lives. So what I would like to see happen is one of a couple things. Either this go out with a levy, where the voters not only vote to do this, but they vote a funding mechanism that funds this in perpetuity or on some serial levy basis on an ongoing basis. That, to me, seems to be a much more realistic way of funding this program while allowing us to fund key programs in the city. Second, as an alternative, I would support campaign limitation amounts for city races that made it very clear what the upper limits were on campaign contributions. And given some of the constitutional challenges with that, other means by which we can control the cost of campaigns, if not by limits, then by even more disclosure. But in my view, at this time, with the challenges this city has, just to provide basic public safety, it's not an appropriate use of our dollars. I will vote to refer it to the voters, but unfortunately, I can't support the program as it's currently funded or administered. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, first, thank you, Auditor Griffin Vallade, for your good work on this. I believe it is a very clear and objective ballot title and explanatory language. Thank you, Andrew Carlstrom, for all of your work ongoing, excuse me, since I first got to know you back in 2005. When I started running for public campaign financing the first time. Thank you, Lynn Lee Reese, for the good advice that you've given us and the elegant method of sunsetting the current ordinance and telling voters, vote yes if you want to continue this. It's very clean and clear, and I hope that voters will vote yes in November. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for being involved in choosing the language carefully on this ballot title so that both you and your staff and me and mine were involved so that we had all sides at the table thinking clearly about how would this be perceived by different kinds of folks. And thank you to Rudy and Spencer Burton and Marianne and Chris, who've come in having run under the system and not had the good fortune that I have and the privilege to serve on the council, but still committed to the program. This is about hope. This is about equality. This is about every citizen of Portland. If you're a registered voter, you have a legitimate shot at being elected to our city council. It's an investment in democracy. It's an investment in the American dream. And Portland is trend-setting. It's unfortunate that we're the only jurisdiction in Oregon that offers this other than the political tax credit that's offered at the state, that Portland should not be the only office that one can run for only with public campaign financing. As I have found over the last 17 months, this is not a rookie assignment, and it's not for political newcomers. And so the voters of Portland invested their money in me, and I likewise invest my time. I had invested close to 20 years in participating in Portland politics, which is why I've been able to be successful along with my staff helping me and the good people who work in the city bureaus, all the city bureaus, including water and environmental services and other bureaus that aren't funded by the general fund. And people who pay rates for sewer and water, some of them live outside of the city of Portland, and they too have an investment in who is elected to the city council, and it's appropriate that a small portion of their rate money should be allocated to make sure that maybe one day the commissioner in charge of one of those bureaus would be a public campaign financed commissioner, and that may be a good thing. And it's certainly a good thing to know that that's a possibility. One of the things I like about this system is that it's a choice, and that there are limits for how much those who choose to run with private money can raise without there being matching funds. There's limits to the matching funds so that if somebody did want to fundraise independently, they could. And it's certainly honorable to choose either mechanism of being elected to council. I'm very happy that there is the choice, and that's why I'm very glad to finally be at the point of referring this. Now, I used the term public campaign financing because I believe it's important for citizens to know that, yes, your public tax money is paying for this system, and it is a good investment of democracy. It is voter-owned elections now because only those who are registered Portland voters are eligible to give the $5 to help a candidate qualify. When we refer it in November, and if voters choose to adopt it, it will be doubly voter-owned, and it'll be something really special that the voters of Portland can choose to keep or can choose to go away. Thank you, League of Women Voters, and thank you, Common Cause, and previously Money in Politics Interest Research Project. A lot of good work has been done, and the eyes of the nation are looking at us. So from the eyes of the nation, I want to go to three people, Tim Crail, Ed Fritz, and Linda Robinson, who helped me in my first campaign when the rule was that if you made one mistake, you were disqualified. One mistake in 1,000 signatures, we would have been disqualified. So I knew the names of all 1,000 people because we went over and over and over them before we submitted them because we wanted to make sure that they were right. And I later had a fellow come up to me at a rally that I was participating in with the Oregon Nurses Association, and he said to me, "Do you remember me? I gave you $5. And I said, "What's your name?" I said, "Oh, I remember that name." And he was so invested in my candidacy. He knew that he had made a significant difference in getting me on the ballot and getting me in a position where I could be elected. And that is huge, that the citizens of Portland have a very big responsibility. If we pass this in November, each person who gives $5 needs to be very clear about whether they actually support that candidate, both getting $150,000 for a city council race and being elected. We will be voting in November about whether we support the system or not. After that, each person will have to be very clear, just as I have to be very clear on every vote that I make here on the city council, is that worth the dollars that I am giving? Each person giving those $5 needs to be particularly careful. I sat next to a business person at a charity dinner a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Thank you so much for running with public campaign financing. I can't tell you how much money I've been asked to give and had to give to candidates running for all kinds of offices, and I'm tired of it." And I said, "You're very welcome, and I'm glad to be here. And since you did help pay for my election anyway, to the tune of about a dollar. I didn't say that part, but yes, you know, every Portlander has, I understand, has helped finance my election. So I said, so since I am your commissioner and you contributed to my campaign, what can I do for you? And he goes, nothing. I just keep listening, keep making the decisions based on the information that you're getting from every citizen. And I thought that was beautiful. I also remember every night when I'm doing my 100th email of the night and it's 12:30 and I'm getting berated by somebody who maybe may or may not have had the right information but certainly is letting me have it on email, I remember this person helped finance my election. They deserve, as every citizen does, they deserve my respect and my time in answering that email because I am beholden to them. And that's the only way that I will use the term beholden in this campaign, that we are all five of us up here, beholden to the voters who elected us. Whatever the mechanism of money that elected us, ultimately it's the people who fill in the bubble on the ballot that elected each one of us. So I'm very honored to be here as a public campaign finance commissioner. I respect my colleagues greatly, and I thank you for referring this to the voters. And I want to thank again Tim Crail and Tom Bizzo and my staff who've worked really hard on this as well. And I'm deeply honored to be here on the council because of public campaign financing. Aye.
Adams.
I want to thank our auditor and Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward, along with Commissioner Fish, Janice Thompson, League of Women Voters, and everyone involved. Aye. All right, we're in recess for 15
minutes. We have another matter.
Oh, we are not in recess. I take it all back.
I think we have a resolution.
779, which I've read, so I'll just call the vote. Fish?
So the resolution, Mayor, actually has the ballot title, the caption, question, and summary, and this was the product of a lot of work, a lot of drafting and editing, and it was the guiding principle was to give no advantage to either side on this issue, to have a strictly neutral and impartial title and description. And that has not always been the history in Oregon on ballot referrals. But I want to, again, compliment the auditor and Commissioner Fritz for their hard work to get this. I think this is, in fact, meets the test that we laid out to be neutral and impartial and to be a clean, to present the voters with a clean up or down vote as we advertise. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We're recessed for 15 minutes.
Thank you. Good job.
Also appreciate what you said.